If you have your Bibles with you or electronic devices, have your Bibles turned to Ephesians chapter 2. We'll be reading verses 1 through 3 again, and I appreciate that, Brother Allen, for reading that scripture for me. It's always good to see young men who are willing to step up and serve in God's kingdom. So I appreciate that, and all my young people. We have young men leading singing. We have young men, reading scripture. And before long, we probably have a young man up here preaching like right now. Amen. There are all kinds of movies that are out there about the dead. Some titles like The Night of the Living Dead, Ghost, Ghostbusters, Zombieland, and a cult classic, The Sixth Sense. Now, this film in particular was one that had many twists and turns about a little boy who appeared to be suffering from some type of mental and social disorder. And it turns out that the problem that he actually has is that he can see ghosts. Now, the problem with these ghosts is that the little boy sees the ghost, but they do not know that they are ghosts. They do not know that they are dead. The little boy encounters a psychologist who attempts to help him with his problems. But the problem with the psychologist is he too is dead, but he does not realize it. The climactic moment of the film is when the little boy looks at the psychologist and says to him, "I see dead people." Now, just for the record, the Bible is crystal clear on the dead, and he has spoken very emphatically about the matter. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, it says, "And just as it is appointed for man to die once, after that comes the judgment." So when we die, we either go to paradise or a place of torment awaiting the final judgment. We do not come back as ghosts and haunt the living. I don't know about you, but I am actually glad about that. Amen? Can you imagine uncle and aunts and people coming back to visit you while you sleep and they're dead? I thank God for that. But no, if we are truly honest with ourselves, and I mean truly honest, we all see dead people. Not that the ones that we're talking about, souls have left their body, but the ones that are among us who are actually living. The ones I'm talking about are the people we see at the grocery store. We see them at the malls. We see them on television, in movies. We see them everywhere. And guess what? You don't have to wait for Halloween. They live, they work, they marry, they reproduce, they love, they hate, they fight, they give, they receive. They even go on vacation. They even sit in churches. They often live rich, full lives, and yet they are dead. The saddest and the most disturbing thing about the whole situation is this: just like the psychologist in the movie, they do not realize that they are dead. Over in Ephesians chapter 2, looking at verses 1 through 3, this passage details the desperate condition of the lost sinner. It tells us very clearly. It also reminds every redeemed child of God of what they were before God saved them by his grace. An infallible word of God reads, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Now, this passage, it desperately tells us the condition of the lost sinner. Now, back in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul reminds us of the riches in Christ. What did he tell us? He told us God came to us. He saved us by his grace, and he adopted us into his family. Paul is reminding us that the salvation that we can enjoy completely of the Lord. Chapter 2 details what we were before we met the Lord Jesus Christ as well. It declares the hopelessness, the helplessness, the condition of those of us who do not know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It exposes the devastating results of sin, the devastating results of the intrusion of sin into the human race. It's telling us this. And I want you to know, on this day, as long as today is called today, if you have not obeyed the gospel by believing the word of God and being baptized to wash away your sins, this message is designed to teach you the truth about sin and its consequences. And if you have obeyed this message, it's designed for you to be reminded of where you were when Jesus found you. It is to remind you of how he saved you, how he transformed your life by his power and blood. Now, this description of the lost around us and among us ought to stir up our hearts, and not only for our sake, but for the sake of others who do not know Christ, so that we can reach out to them with the gospel so they too can come to the knowledge and the understanding of the truth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I preached a sermon while I was in Tucson about the urgency of the gospel. The urgency of the gospel, it is an urgent matter that people do not know the word of God. And I'm not talking about the deep stuff. We're talking about the basic principles of what God expects and what Christ has done for us. Before we get into this, I want you to notice the characteristics when we're talking about dead and trespasses and sin. I need for us to understand, I want you to make a mental note in your head that lost people are dead. Lost people are dead. The Bible says, for people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money. They will be proud. They will be arrogant. They will be abusive. They will be disobedient to their parents. They will be ungrateful, unholy, and unrighteous. Now the phrase, and you hath he quickened. I want us to think about that. Even when we're dead in our trespass, he made us alive together with Christ. So even though you were dead in it, you were once made alive again together with Christ. By grace, we have been saved. And it was a reference to the Ephesian believers, but Paul is also writing to the saints. He's talking to us to remind us of the exalted place that we can be in Jesus Christ. That place of peace that we can have in Christ, the redemption that we can have in Christ, the reconciliation that we can have in Christ, the joy that we can have by being in Christ. And he writes these words to remind them of their wretched past. It is also a reminder to us about our wretched past. It reminds us that we were once dead in our sins, and now that we're in Christ, we have been made alive again. The word quicken means to be made to live. Now, while Paul was writing to the saints, there's also a message for every single person who hears the words today. So let's first talk about that. The condition. We need to take a moment to look at our condition, where we are mentally, where we are spiritually, how we live and conduct ourselves every single day. So when you take a look at your condition, it gives you an opportunity to say to yourself whether or not I need to be saved, or I need to be reminded that I'm saved, and I need to get back right with God. So Paul tells the readers that they were dead. This word literally means a corpse. It was the word used to describe what we call a dead body. This passage refers to the one devoid of all spiritual life. There is no spiritual life. It refers to the one who is essentially spiritually dead. When a person dies, guess what? They're unable to respond to any impulse. They're unable to respond to any stimuli. They're unable to perform any function whatsoever. So they lack all power and they lack ability, right? So their body is essentially reduced to an empty shell. There's no ability to hear, no ability to speak, think, respond. The body which once was vital and alive is now just an empty shell. So when a physical body dies, it loses its ability to respond to this physical world. In a spiritual sense, it's the perfect illustration for those who do not know the Lord. And I also think that it's a reminder of those of us who have obeyed the gospel to remember our first love. Paul says that they're lost, so they're dead. So what is death? Death is the opposite of life. Over in John chapter 17, in verse 3, Jesus said, "And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." So in other words, those who know the Lord are alive. They're not dead. And those, while they do not know Christ, who are walking around living, are spiritually dead. John repeats this truth in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 12. He says, "Whoever has the Son has life." It didn't say whoever is living has life. It said, whoever has the Son has life, and whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. So ultimately, we are really in a real world walking dead. If you think the show is interesting, just take a look at this world. You look at all of the people who are walking around like corpses. They have no real sense of thought, really no pain. They just cut their arm off. They just keep on chucking along. You take something from them, they just keep on chucking along. Poke out an eye, they just keep on chugging along. And we are living in a real world walking dead. Paul says that those who are lost are dead. What is true of a dead body is also true of one who's dead in sin, right? Because the lost are dead to God, but they're alive to the world. They don't respond to God. They don't respond to his word. They respond to the world, what the world expects, what the world tells them they need, what the world tells them that they need to desire. They live in it. They move in it. They love it. They laugh it. They speak it. They seek the pleasures of it. But they are dead even though they are alive. They're not dead to the world, but they are dead to God. You see, the lost are not merely sick in need of a healing. They are lost in need of a resurrection. They need to be quickened so that they can come to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to be saved. If someone has never come to Jesus Christ and obeyed the gospel, I'm here to tell you that they're dead. This is why the things of God mean nothing to the dead. That's why you can talk to people over and over and over again, and it doesn't seem to click. This is why they never feel. Anything that comes to being in an assembly like this, they don't feel it. They don't feel the singing. They don't feel the praying, the reading of scriptures, the studying of the Bible. They don't feel it. This is why the things that stirs the heart of the redeemed never stir their heart. You ever wonder why you can say amen to the word of God and other people are apprehensive or offended? Because they're dead. There's no life to feel the words of God. Their hearts aren't open to receive the word of God, because when you're dead, you can't hear, you can't see, you can't speak, you cannot respond because you're dead. And this is why it happens. As a matter of fact, some people are so dead when it comes to the things of the Lord, they might as well already be embalmed. When you are dead, spiritually, you need to be born again. I think about it. If you come to a worship service like this and hear God's word and you leave this place unmoved, your heart isn't pricked, you don't look at yourself through the mirror of God's word to look at your ugly reflection and see what needs to be changed, see those botched adjustments you tried to make without including God or Christ. The Bible shows you that. And if you leave here with not being moved and you blame it on the fact that the preacher has the ability or inability, because ain't nobody stumping around and ain't nobody flipping and there's no smoke and mirrors and all types of action being played. This whole extravaganza, because that's what you need to be moved. Then you're dead. Because all it should take is the infallible word of God to move you. All it should take to revive you if you are losing life is the word of God. But if you leave unmoved after God's word is being taught, it's not a problem with the word or the preacher. It's a heart problem. Your heart must be right. Your heart must be ready. Your heart must be fertile ground to receive the implanted word of God. And without a fertile place for the word to land, it will be lost. The dead find spiritual things unmoving. You ever call somebody and try to tell them, you know, how God has blessed you, and they just kind of like, eh, all right. But if you call them and told them that you got a promotion and something that came through man, they're excited about. But tell them the blessings of God. Tell them about the grace of God. Tell them about the saving blood of Jesus Christ. They're uninterested because they are dead. God's word holds no interest for the lost. The fact that they are physically alive is proven by the deeds mentioned in verses 2 and 3. They're not bored with worldly things. In fact, they find meaning and appeal to the things in this world. That's what gets them excited. They are spiritually dead and they are in need of a resurrection. Now, I want you to think about this. Can we all just be honest for a second? I just want you to think about this. We all remember those dark days of spiritual death. Amen. Amen. We all been there. Where we were separated. Everybody didn't come out worshiping God. Everybody didn't come out from the jump doing everything that they need to do. We all have experienced those dark days of spiritual death when we were alive in the world but dead to God. The things of God held no interest to our dead hearts. We were uninterested. All we cared about was having fun and my way. Was it Frank Sinatra that sung My Way? Yeah, that's how we are. I did it my way. Not God's way, but my way. That's where we were. We were as dead men walking without God, without Christ, without hope in this world. We all need to bless the glorious day. We all need to rejoice and remember the glorious day when Christ came into our tombs of sin. He quickened us and made us alive through the things of God. Do you realize that there was a new birth, according to John chapter 3, verses 3 through 7? You are a new creation, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. We have talked about all of these things. We go over it over and over again. You can be made new. But you have to be willing to accept what's going on. So we've talked about the condition. Let's talk about the circumstances. He haven't told us about the condition of the lost. He talks about their circumstances. That is, he speaks of the realm in which they live and operate, the system in which we operate under. They may be dead spiritually, but they are very alive physically. The physical life is characterized by two very specific details. Paul tells us that they are dead in trespasses and sin. These two words are worth considering for a moment. So let's look at them. Trespass, the word means to cross a boundary. So I want you to get this picture in your head. Right? It refers to a lapse or a deviation from the truth or righteousness. You're going another way. You're going another way. I remember I talked about this before with you guys, but if everything, every single thing that you're doing in your life, and it seems to be, this is coming your way. This is coming your way. This is out of order. I got to deal with this. I got to deal with this. All this stuff is coming my way. Lord, why is all this stuff coming my way? Have you ever considered that you are going the wrong way? Maybe you ought to get on the path of righteousness and you won't have that problem. See, we're on a path of self-serving. All kinds of stuff come your way. When you're on the path of, I believe in man more than I believe in God, these are the types of things that we experience. Everything is coming our way. But ultimately, the ideal is that we slip and we fall and we're stumbling, going in the wrong direction. It speaks of an attitude that stands in opposition of the things of God, the things that he's commanded us to do. A trespass occurs when a person crosses a boundary that has been clearly set, that has been clearly established by the Lord. So here's the imagery. God draws his line in the sand, and he says, do this, and do this. Don't do this, and don't do that. And if you do this, this is what's going to happen. And if you do that, this is what's going to happen. He draws the line, and he says that mankind is not to go beyond that point. And sure enough, we teeter on that line. And if we don't teeter on it, we cross over it daily. When a sinner steps over that boundary, they are guilty of trespass. You have trespassed. They have crossed God's boundary, and they are in sin. Every sinful act is a trespass against God and his word, against his person, and against his glory. Sin, the word comes from the understanding of to miss the mark. In a hunting term, so I want you to picture a hunter who has an arrow, or maybe a gun or a rifle, and he sees his target, and he shoots, and he misses. Or maybe he's trying to load the bullet. He has an opportunity to do and get the animal, but he drops the bullet or the arrow. He misses the mark. His target is not hit. So in other words, he's falling short of any goal or any purpose or standard that has been set. We miss our mark when we do not hit the goal or standard that God has set for us. When applied to a sinner, it's the picture of a sinner falling short, completely missing God's standard of holiness and righteousness. Paul doesn't use these two words to describe two different types of sinful activity. That's not what he's doing. He's using these terms to emphasize the great breadth of sinfulness of those who are spiritually dead. What he's talking about here is man's condition and man's unwillingness to respond to that condition. All sinners are dead. But you know what I've noticed? Some give off more evidence of decay in their lives than others. Think about it. If you were to walk onto a battlefield and see a dozen corpses, they would all share one thing in common. They are all dead. Now, there might be different stages of decay, right? But they all will be dead. So what that means for us is that there are some of us that are out here that have been dead longer than others. Some have been dead for 10 years. Some have only been dead for 2 or 3. Some have only been dead for 6 months, and some have died today. And what that simply means is that they have walked away from God. They have chosen to live this world and worship the God of this world instead of worshiping our Heavenly Father. And it really doesn't matter how long you've decayed and how long you've been dead or how long you have been dealing with things. The fact of the matter is dead. When we speak of spiritual death, we need to understand that every person who is not saved is dead. The man who gives to the needy, I need you to understand, he is just as dead as the drunk in the gutter. The preacher who teaches false doctrine is just as dead as the drug addict or the drug dealer on the streets. The person who comes to church, who sits on the pew, sings songs, prays, and has unrepented sin in their life, is unwilling to do the will of God, is just as dead as a mass murderer. Dead is dead. When man sins, he is separated from God. Isaiah speaks of this in Isaiah 59 and in verse 2. The Bible says that every single person in this world is in this condition. I'm going to say it again. Every single person in this world is in this condition. How can you say that, Brother Sanders? Well, let me tell you, brother. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. This is for all humanity, which is in the same condition. The lost sinner who is not in a saving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is dead, trespasses and sins. In other words, they are dead even while they are alive. They are dead even while they're out living their sinful lives. I need for us to understand that nobody in here, that's why we should be praying every single day. Why? Because you're in and out of sin. All day, every day, you're battling the flesh, battling the mind, battling your language, battling how you talk, battling how you respond to people. Every single day. And you know what I've learned in doing this for the time that I've been doing it? There are two types of people. Those who give reasons and those who bring about results. That's it. Why aren't you doing the things that you, well, let me tell you, this is the reason why. Why haven't you put Christ on and back? Well, see, I'm about to, and I was planning on it. Why haven't you, but see, this is the reason. But the people who are about results are people who are about action. If you care about where you spend eternity, then you will care about God's word, what he says on the matter, and you will do it. You wouldn't be walking around here thinking that I'm alive, but yet dead in Christ, knowing that my inheritance will be the horrible abode of hell. No one is saved based on how good they are. Nobody. And I know a lot of good people who are going to hell. How religious they are doesn't matter. How close they try to jump to get in God's direction ain't enough. Salvation comes through God's grace. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. Salvation comes when a lost sinner turns to Christ by faith and be buried in water and live faithful until he dies or Christ returns. As I close out our time, I don't want to end this message on a sad note. But it's the truth. It is a fact that we are walking amongst the living dead. But I want to tell you the good news that Jesus Christ, he died for us. He died for all mankind, every one of us. He entered into death that he might give life to those who come to him for salvation. When he died on the cross, he died so that we could be saved from our sins. He died so that we might have a spiritual resurrection that we so desperately need. If you're lost and you're not saved, and you are aware that you are in need of a savior. You understand that you are drowning and you are in need of a life-saving raft. Jesus Christ is that raft. He's calling you today. He's telling you, don't push me away. Come to me, those of you who are heavy laden, those of you who are weary, those of you who are sad, that don't have peace, who are ailing in every single way, come to me and I will give you rest. Will you come to Jesus today? Because he will save your soul. He will bring you out of the tomb of sin and give you a new life in Christ. Come to Jesus and accept his precious gift. Don't push it away. It is a free and precious gift. If you've already obeyed, you should thank God for resurrecting you from the darkness. And if you are burdened over a lost one in your life, maybe it's your child, maybe it's your husband or wife, that they're lost. Or maybe your children are becoming wayward. They're becoming defiant. They're lost. I challenge you to come before God today and pray for their salvation. I come to you today to challenge you, those of you who have not put Christ on in baptism, those of you who are struggling and need the prayers of the church, those of you who have sinned publicly, those of you who are struggling. Let me ask you this. Has it happened to you that you were once dead and you were brought back from the dead? It happened to me. I was walking around alive, but I was dead. And if Christ had came back while I was walking around living physically, but dead spiritually, I would be lost for eternity. If you do know what I'm talking about, you've experienced this joy, this peace, this understanding of who our God is. And if you're here this morning and you want that, you can have that today. Again, I hear quite often as I close, people come to me after and said I was going to come up, but I was afraid. I didn't want to be the one that everybody was looking at. I didn't want to stand alone. One of my good brothers said that to me, and I told him, I said, wrong is wrong if everybody is doing it. And right is right if you're the only one doing it. And so if you're the only one that's standing here, you're not alone because God is with you. And with God, who could ever be against you? So if you're here today and you are subject to the invitation, please come now as together we stand and sing.